and you are listening to Eyes Up Here on the iHeartRadio Network or wherever you get your podcasts. Usually I have my co-host Chad with me, but he wasn't able to make it, so I found a replacement. You know him as Sign Guy Dudley. I know him as Lou DeAngeli from Impact TNA Wrestling. Lewis, I have not seen you. Lewis, I have not seen you. I was trying to think because I saw you over the weekend of WrestleMania. I don't remember the last time I saw you.
Probably 2001. Like when we were doing, not the last ECW show, but remember we did some like shows during the summer, like the community center off South Street that year. I have a weird memory. I remember that show. That might have been it.
And we also did the baseball field, the reunion at the baseball field when my top my chain top broke in the ring.
Yes, I remember the Buffalo show very well. We were calling spots on the fly just to pop ourselves.
I think I gave you a Bronco Buster, and my top was completely broken, and that was
We did it, that spot there, and also at the community center. We kept it going, man. We kept it going. Good stuff.
We had a lot of reunion shows that year.
I only did that one. Remember, I stopped. Like I did the Buffalo one, the community center show. I don't think was a reunion. I think it was just you and me and Tommy and I forget who else. A CW maybe.
I remember the community center. Yeah. But now, did you not do them because you moved?
No, I still live in Philly for a lot of them, and then I moved to Colorado. But no, mostly because no one asked me to. And then the couple that I'm just being honest, the couple that I was asked to do, because I was asked for a few, either didn't work out with my schedule for like my job or just kind of wasn't interested in it. But yeah, that was a couple.
That's a great
record. Well, I'm not going to lie. The first thing is I didn't come because no one booked me. Okay. And then the ones I was asked for, I wasn't interested in. So
Right. I've been there.
There we go. Remember, I was part of the rebirth of ECW with you and WWE, so I got my fill of, quote, reunion shows.
See, I call that the fake ECW. That was a very dark time.
Yeah, it was definitely not the real ECW.
No, it was the shit. It was horrible. I did not have a good time there.
No, that was tough for a lot of people. I mean, I was happy. I mean, me personally, I lasted 4 years there because I was in the office doing marketing, but I felt bad for all you guys, man. You didn't get much of a shot, if any shot.
I told the story so many times. It was like it was presented to me one way, and then when I got there, none of that happened. You know,
it's presented to all of us, I think, in one way. I mean, even when like I was working for Comcast Spectacor in Philadelphia for 4 years, and they had WWE reached out to me about coming back, and the initial idea was I thought it was pretty cool. It was, you know, Shane was going to run it. There was talk about using the ECW arena as a weekly TV show location.
Yeah.
And all that, and like a hub. And I was, you know, I lived in Philadelphia, so I was like, I was all in on that. And I think, about a week after I signed my deal to go there, everything went the opposite direction. So Shane wasn't involved, and I don't know who was booking it at the time. I don't know if it was Paul or Tommy or whoever, but man, that went sideways real fast.
Yeah. It did. I mean, the only thing that I got out of it were new friends that I made in the locker room and being with like old friends. But the experience was just horrible for me.
Yeah, I think it would be. Look, it was definitely tough for me personally. Like I had 4 months of WWE CW and then I was put on the fan access stuff, which was awesome for 3.5 years. I produced that with the team there. And that was very fulfilling. And then eventually doing some of the brand marketing for the pay-per-view events. But again, I go back to the initial plan of what it was supposed to be. And, you know, guys like you and C-Dub and Danny and Roadkill and Guido and a lot of people I'm probably forgetting. Funny thing about that ECW, which you probably don't know, is they originally had me. They had a gimmick for me. I was going to be the office, Lou DeAngeli. And I was going to host the live events, like, in the crowd and stuff like that.
Get out. No, I never heard that.
Yeah, I got nixed, like, fairly fast. And, you know, it's funny, like, I had never formally had a conversation about it. Like, they had talked, like, they mentioned it to me. Like, oh, yeah, you can be, like, live event host. And you know, and you can do all the marketing stuff as well, because, you know, there's crossover there. And I was like, okay, I never heard another word about it. And then like booking sheets came out, and at the top, I still have this somewhere, at the top of the booking sheet, it's like host Lou DeAngeli. And then like 2 days later, the booking sheets re-came out and there was no host Lou DeAngeli anymore.
Yeah, I used to love when I would look at the sheet on the wall and like my name would be on there, and then I'd walk by 5 minutes later and it'd be crossed out. I'd be like, yes, this is great.
It was really interesting, you know, now that you know, Nick Nemeth is with us now. Yes. In TNA, and him and I have had a lot of conversations about WWE life, and it's like, I don't think people truly understand like how quickly things change. I mean, he was telling me a story about he was booked, like, he wasn't telling me a story, the story was on Busted Open, but then him and I had the conversation because I wanted him to like share with people like this really happens. Like one night he's getting a call that he's in a 20-man battle royal that he's winning, and then he's going 35 minutes with Roman Reigns, and then the booking sheet comes out and he's in a prelim on like Heat or something like that, doing a 5-minute job to Kevin Owens. It's just like it's so sporadic, and that's at a major level, right? So
yeah,
I don't think people get it, man. It's crazy.
And it makes you wonder too, like, do you have heat with anyone there? Like, what is the deal? Because I really didn't have heat, like, as far as I know. Like, my heat was, I was told by Johnny Ace, my heat is because I kept to myself and I didn't politic.
Yeah, I mean, that's flat weird.
Flat out used the word politicking. I mean, I was called to that office so many times. And yeah. You're like paint drying. You don't do anything. You don't politic. And I'm like, I never politicked in my life. Like, what? Where am
I? Part of the goal is not to politic. And usually it's like, should get rewarded. That's strange. That's a strange answer. I think a lot of it too. I think honestly, I mean, they tried to get everybody they could, and you know, back from the originals. And I don't know if they actually, I don't know what the plan was. Again, I know initially it was supposed to be, and I think once everything settled and they changed everything, it was more about like, how can we get new guys over using the old ECW talent kind of thing. And then it just, there was no ECW talent at one point. You know, it was just a couple guys.
Yeah.
It was a crazy 4 months though. I remember those house shows. I remember the boys asking me why there was nobody in the crowd, and me telling them that because I had a $500 marketing budget, and like it was some pretty awkward conversations with some of the guys.
Wow.
What's that? Yeah.
$500.
I remember I remember one night in Huntington, West Virginia. It was the building we had done for ECW, and then now we were there for WWE ECW and Big Show, and Van Damme was the main event. I think there was 400 people in like a 5,000 or 6,000 seat arena, might be even more than that. And I remember they both came up to me, and it's just like, all right, what do you do here? So I always told the truth. So I didn't like work anybody and say, oh, it's this, it's this. It's like, we don't have much of an ad budget. And in this day and age, even then, whenever that was, you know, in 2000, what was it, 6, 7, it's like $500 is nothing. So you basically print posters, hope for the best.
Did we have a street team?
Yeah, I mean, we would do like a street team. And then like beg radio people to talk to us. So
yeah, well,
it was tough.
That shows you how much they cared about us. There was like nothing, you know what I mean? And that was the frustration on talent side, because we saw the way we were treated, and the way that it was just like, you know, I remember one night I was stuck doing the stupid bikini stuff, which I hate it.
The nightly bikini contest.
Oh my God, it was so horrible. I hated it. Nothing against the girls, but I never had to do that shit for Paul, you know? Yeah. And now I'm 34 years old and they're making me do it with a 19-year-old. It was just stupid, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember I was in my dressing room, and Ted DiBiase was one of the agents for us. And he comes in and he goes, yeah, you're not working tonight, but you probably don't care anyway. And he walked out. And I just looked at him and I was just like, what? Like,
that's amazing.
It was, I'm telling you, it was like nobody gave two shits about any of us. I was just like, okay. So I got changed.
Yeah.
And I went like that down. And that was that. So,
you know, what's funny is now it's like, all these years later, I think ECW gets more love from WWE than they have ever. Now, and I say that because of like Paul's Hall of Fame thing, all the specials done on the network. I mean, I've done countless ECW things. you know, top 50 extreme moments. I'm just trying to think of some of the things I was involved in, but there's a lot. So it's like all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, it was really awesome, which is cool. It keeps it in the conversation, but that experiment was very bad.
Yeah, it was not good. Let's get back to better times. When we had fun
20 minutes ago.
Before we started talking about the fake EC dub. Yeah. Give me a random story. I always ask my guests, give me a random story of being on the road, something that pops out in your head that I might or might not know. I had Chris Chetty on, and he told a fantastic story that I never even heard about him in a bar after hours fighting with an NWA legend, asking him, who'd you ever be? And here it was Larry Zbyszko.
Seriously?
The funniest story ever. He's just like cursing at him, and the boys had to drag him out of the bar because he was...
Did he not know it was Larry Zbyszko?
No, because remember, Chris didn't know anything about wrestling when he started.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And like Kaz kind of forced him into the business, so he didn't know anybody from the past. He didn't know current wrestlers, like he didn't watch it. And they sat down at this table, and he was across from Larry, and Larry was like, you know, ECW is nothing but, you know, shitty wrestlers and this, that, the other. And Chris manned up to him and was like, who'd you ever be? What do you know? Blah, blah, blah. And it was Larry. So yeah, it was a great
story. That's funny. I'm horrible with stories off the cuff. I'm really good if you remind me of something.
I told you an hour ago.
Yeah, that's an hour ago. There's a lot of time within there.
Do you remember? I'll throw you one. Do you remember the tornado?
Oh, in St. Charles. I do. Were you in the car with me and Jack?
I was in the car with Tommy.
Okay, so that story I do remember because I had personally never been in a tornado.
And you were like practically crying.
Yeah, I'll tell you my version of that. I don't know if I was crying, but I was. I remember, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but I remember Jack and I were driving, and we were in a Wendy's, and we're in the drive-thru, and whatever, getting our food, and all of a sudden these like sirens start going off. And I go to Jack. I was like, what's this? And he's like, I think it's a hurricane. And the lady at the Wendy's like opens the drive-thru window, literally throws our food at us in the car. We don't pay. She shuts the window. She's like, get cover. Boom. So I'm like, holy freak. Like I'm freaking out. So Jack, we drive to the hotel. Was this when we saw you? So we drove to the hotel and we went under the stairs of like the second floor to hide, which I don't know is the right idea or not. I was fairly freaked out about that. Is that what, were you, was I there with you for that one?
Well, yeah, well, Tommy and I were in Target.
Yeah.
Either Target or a Walmart, and the sirens went off. And I was like, what's going on? And he grabbed my arm and he goes, it's a tornado. And he starts pulling me through the store and everybody just starts running.
I know. So it was, yeah.
We got in the car and I remember you, Carino.
Yeah.
C-Dub, right? Was C-Dub there?
Yeah. Somehow we all found each other.
Because Carino, I don't know if he was rooming with you or not, but his room was on the first floor, and they told us not to get on the elevator.
Yeah, that's why I was under some stairs somewhere.
Okay, so we all go in the room, and I'll never forget it. You guys had pizza, old pizza on your bed. And all of you were like, oh my God, we got to call our moms. We're going to die. We're all going to die. And I was like, no one's going to die. Relax. So Tommy drags me into a bathroom and he goes, this is the safest place. We have to stay in the bathroom. Call your mother. I go, I am not calling my mother. She is going to freak out.
It's so doomsday. It's like, it's over. It's over.
All calling your moms and I did not. I went back to your room. And I sat on that bed while you were all in the bathroom and I ate a piece of pizza and I was watching TV and I saw the tornado touch down outside your hotel room.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I
don't remember that level of detail.
Oh, people were all crying in the bathroom. Like,
no, crying.
We were all crying, calling your moms. And I was the only one.
I mean, that's I remember that one pretty well. That was my first tornado experience. I think I also drove through one once, but that was post EC Dub, so it doesn't count.
Wasn't Jeff Jones stuck under a bridge or something?
I think somebody was. There was a whole bunch of us. It was like, where were you when this tornado hit in St. Charles? And why are you all a bunch of marks for still talking about it?
I thought it was hilarious. It was so great. I literally saw it touch down outside the window.
Yeah. That's
so
awesome.
Great. All right, well, that's...
Most of my stories are built around, like, just things I saw. I mean, I did the... this is 8 years ago, I think, but I did the top five extreme moments WWE DVD, and they couldn't believe I remembered every single moment and like where I was and what was happening. Very, very random. And that's where I'm, I remember those things really well. The driving around and all the stuff we do. I mean, we've done a lot of poop pranks on CW. That's always a go-to.
We did. We did remember the brownie one?
The brownie story is told like every time I see anybody, and very simply, and I'm sure it's been told before, and I'm gonna PG this as best I can for the sake of
business. Before you say it, let me just tell you, the brownie was mine and I was pissed off that I couldn't eat it.
Wasn't it a Metarex bar?
No, it was my brownie.
It was an actual brownie.
It was a brownie.
So I have a picture that I found. I should have brought it, but it's downstairs. I have a picture of me and said brownie holding the brownie.
No, you do not.
I swear.
That's to me.
Yeah, it was. I found these two pictures randomly the other day. It was one of like me and Mikey Whipwreck, and then one of me and the brownie. And the brownie's like this, and I'm like, oh.
Was it before or after?
Oh, 100% after, because it was mobile.
I'm done. All right, now you have to tell the story because
we're in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Where we were.
I have a strange memory. I remember lots of random things. We were in Green Bay, Wisconsin. There was a huge snowstorm. A lot of the boys were late to the show, if they even made it to the show. And somewhere along the way, it was CW was going to wrestle Tommy, and we were bored. And I think it was me, you, and Tommy, or Tommy and me, and we pulled you in and we pulled some people from the locker room and said, we're gonna rip CW, and try to make them throw up.
Because he would gag.
Yeah, and the rib with him is, if you can make him, that's the goal, make him throw up, right? This is like really, really cool, like adult stuff we're doing here, trying to make a guy throw up just for our own pleasure. So the deal was, we would do, CW would have his match with Tommy, and he did, and at one point in the match, CW gives Tommy a spine buster on the ladder, and Tommy rolls out, rolls over selling his back, but also saying to the ref and CW, I'm hurt, I'm hurt, I'm hurt. And so they go home. And so CW's freaking out because he thinks he hurt Tommy now. And then Tommy comes to the back selling, and he sells. And I remember that it goes through the curtain. There's like a little hallway down to these like locker rooms where the turd picture's from. And Tommy like goes in there and he falls on the floor, like selling his back.
Oh,
and
no.
What's that?
He squats too.
Oh yeah, he's just dying. And somewhere along there, you slip him what I thought was a Metrex bar, but it turns out to be a real brownie. You slip him the brownie. Tommy then proceeds to put it in his pants, and when CW, the back of his pants, and CW walks in, and he's freaking out, and Tommy starts going, oh, I think I cracked myself. I think I cracked myself. He goes, Francine, can you check? Can you check? And now CW's starting
to do
this.
Why would check? I don't know.
What's that?
Why would I check to see?
Yeah, it's just like, but you at that point, it's like, why would anybody check? You don't need to check. So CW starts getting the heebie-jeebies a little bit. He starts doing the gag, but he's still really concerned because he thinks Tommy's hurt. And then you pull a gimmick brownie out of Tommy's pants as to say, oh my God, you did. CW turns, throws up, and what everybody missed in the course of that is I had fake throw up in an airplane bag that I also threw against the wall to make it even worse for CW. He was never the same. That to me was pretty fun. That's an easy one.
The fake throw up was the best.
What's that?
The fake throw up was the
best. Oh, it was like, how can we make it even worse? We'll do it that. This guy has a trigger. This guy's trigger is, like, all disgusting things. And here we're just going to throw it all at him for our amusement. I remember driving back with him that night. I don't think he spoke to me.
Do you guys do this in the TNA locker room?
No. No, I don't. There's ribs. I mean, there's fun things we do with each other. Like, it's I mean, no, not like that, but no reason we really don't. There's little things we do to pop each other.
Right.
But they're not elaborate ribs because TNA doesn't travel. Like, we don't have these 250-mile drives between each shows and all that where you can orchestrate things. I mean, we could orchestrate things whenever, but the short answer is no. We do have a great time together, though.
Right. Well, for those who don't know, Lou now works for TNA. So what is your title there?
I'm the vice president of marketing for Anthem Sports and Entertainment. So the company that owns TNA Wrestling.
Okay. There you go.
My main focus is indeed TNA Wrestling. And I've been there for just over 2 years now.
And you love it.
I've had a great return in the wrestling business. It's been you know, to be honest with you, I always thought I'd try or maybe would get back in, but it was really important that I was around with my kids. I have two daughters now, 15 and 18, which blows my mind. But I always thought, like, when they're older, like, I would love to get back into pro wrestling. And it just happened, like, 2 years ago, Anthem reached out to me. We had a really good conversation, and I started as a consultant. And I'll tell you, and everybody in TNA knows this, but you know, I went to the first show, which was happened to be at the 2300 arena of all places. I didn't feel like I really fit in at all. I felt like I was completely so disconnected from wrestling because for 11 years I worked at Cirque du Soleil. So I was vice president of marketing and PR there. I didn't, you know, and I know a lot of people say this, but I didn't watch a lot of wrestling and I didn't really stay in touch. And the only things I would watch were if one of my buddies was on TV and he texted me and he said, like, I'm going to do this segment or make sure you watch this, or if it's one of my buddies. And that's kind of what it was. So when I went to Philadelphia, I knew Tommy, Rhino, Lance, Brian Myers, and Matt Cardona. And I knew nobody else in the TNA locker room. And it was really weird because when they brought me in, they didn't really tell anybody why I was there. So that day I was just like walking around aimlessly. And I remember calling my wife about an hour after I got to the arena. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to work out. I'm not feeling it. And it was a lot of different feelings for me. And the fact that one, I didn't know anybody. So that's, you know, you get over that. But two, I just didn't know if this was the time. Right. So we did the Philly shows. And then 2 weeks later, we had shows in Poughkeepsie, Mid-Hudson Civic Center, also where we did shows at.
Love that building.
And I remember, and honestly, I emailed them and I said, you guys really need me there. Like, do I have to come? Like, I don't have anything to do, because I didn't have anything to do at the shows at that time. And the response was like, well, dude, like, we'd like you to, like, get familiar with, like, the crew and everything. And then I was like, yeah, you're right. I was just being negative. So I went, and sure enough, after the second show in Poughkeepsie, I was like, I get it. I get what Impact at the time is trying to do. I want to be part of it. Something just clicked. And then after Poughkeepsie, it picked up and I was a lot more involved in a lot of different things. And then I was offered a full-time job that summer that I gladly accepted. And now looking back on it, like if I had bailed 2.5 years ago, that would have been a big mistake, because I think some of the best times I've had in wrestling are actually happening right now.
Nice.
Just from having a different view on it, having a different position in the company than what I've done in past companies, but also just seeing, like, we talk about locker rooms and we don't crucify each other with ribs, but we have a great time together and we mess around and you do the fun things. But this is probably as close as it could get to anything, like, and it's so different than ECW in a way. I was going to say it's as close as you could get to that locker room, but in reality it's just two different worlds. Like, ECW had a great locker room, TNA has a great locker room. They're all different reasons why, but I think at the end of the day, the one thing that brings it together is the drive of everybody to try to make it the best it can be, and you know, always represent the product in a really proud way. So it's turned out to be pretty awesome.
You know, a couple of years ago, I did, I think it was WrestleKing.
Yeah.
Down in, what is that, South Carolina, North Carolina? Somewhere,
yeah.
And Brian Myers had a party.
Right.
In his room, and Shane was like, you know, we're gonna go to dinner, and then we'll go up to Brian Myers' room. And I was like, I don't know. I said, it's going to be all the young kids and stuff. And, you know, I mean, let's called Speed is Big. We're not.
No, I know. And that was half my thing, too. I mean, you know. But I know about your party because Myers texted me because he thought it was so cool that he was hanging out with you and Shane. Seriously.
He invited us. And so I said, you know what? Let's give it a go. Let's go up. So I did. So we went up there. And I'll tell you what. I met the whole locker room because the whole locker room came into his room. There were like 30 people. I said to myself, like you, I'm going to be uncomfortable. I know I am. I wasn't in the lead. I mean, about 99% of who walked in, if I didn't know them, they came and shook my hand and sat down and were talking to me and drinking. And we were all drinking and having a good time. And I said, my God, if I had to pick one locker room to return, not that I'm returning anywhere, but I'm just saying, if I had to pick somewhere to work, I would pick this company because everybody was so nice. And like down to earth, and the girls were cool, and there was like no, you could tell there was just no cattiness going on. And I love that. And everybody was getting along, and it was just a fun night. You know what I mean? And I was just like, damn, I like these people. Like they're good people. I could just tell. I got that vibe. You know what I mean? So now when I do these conventions, I go hang with them.
Yeah. True.
Know, like true. The last weekend. Yeah. Like
you that saw, was awesome. And that's, that's what I mean. I mean, I think initially I wasn't giving it enough of a chance. And then when I did, and like, you see, those hangs are awesome. I mean, there's a good group of people that it's not clicky, but everybody has their people they hang out with. And that group of people is just a lot of fun and super respectful and the stories and everything we talk about. And, but also it's just, it's a, what I consider a safe place. I mean, a lot of those, a lot of things or whatever, don't find their way on the net, which is good.
Yeah.
But that is one thing I would say about the TNA locker room for sure. I mean, there's a handful of guys there that we got really close, you know, pretty quick, but it was because we've seen a lot of different things together, but we're also fighting for the same cause. And, you know, everyone communicates and talks, you know, it's not like this, you know, there's always silos in certain areas and that's any company, not just a wrestling company, but everyone's usually working together to figure things out, throw ideas out. A lot of the ideas that are talked about from the crew with me or from a marketing standpoint or with our creative guys, like at least are listened to and may even happen. So I think a lot of people see those things come to fruition, which does make it a difference. You actually do have impact, you know, no pun intended.
Impact. Well,
sorry. Influence. You also have influence.
The kid with the glasses should know what's going on.
That was, so I heard that story found its way on here. Is that true?
I had to tell that. Yeah, I told that story already. Lou is the kid with the glasses. If you didn't listen to it, go back and listen. I told the story. I was the peacemaker that night. There he is. Yeah.
There he is.
And you weren't even that, like, forward.
I didn't do anything wrong. I felt like.
I think you were just like, listen, bro. Yeah. We're just hanging out, having a good time.
What happened was we're all sitting at a table and Nick's sitting with us and everybody in that bar was bothering Nick, like to the point of like, Nick's a great guy. He'll do anything. But it came to a point like you could just see it's like every time the dude like went anywhere, can we get a picture?
Yeah.
And this one guy comes over and he was just some of the things that I won't repeat here. It was just so disrespectful of what he said to Nick. And Nick was like, huh? And I'm just like, bro, can you just leave? Like,
yeah,
we're trying to have a good time.
You know what he says to me? He goes, I'm not really a fan.
Great.
And I said, if you're not a fan, then stop bothering us.
Leave. Well, he definitely is because of the things he said to Nick. I knew he knew wrestling. And then he tried to come back and talk to John Morrison. And John and I are buddies from back in the day and Ty and everyone. And so it was the same thing. I told John, I was like, watch this dude. And then that's when I was the kid with the glasses.
You were the kid with the glasses.
I wasn't trying to start trouble. I was simply trying to like create some space. So stop getting bothered.
Well, I think I eliminated.
Oh, yeah. You took him off and had a good talking to him.
I did. And I prevented a big war and a fight. And I was very proud of myself.
Not a fault. I won't let it get that far. But I mean, I think, you know, it's when you're in the public eye, like Nick is and you are and those guys in that moment, it's going to go further if Nick retaliates versus if I say something and I'm the kid in the glasses versus, you know.
I just like the kid with the glasses. It's just,
well, I'm happy you called me a kid. I'm 51. So
tell me about it. So let me ask you a question, and don't take offense, because I was match number 2 on the reunion show that just passed a couple weeks ago. Did you go out with the Dudleys that night?
No.
Why not?
I mean, no one ever asked me to.
Are you kidding me?
Bubba asked me when I literally walked in the building.
Did
He's like, do you want to come to the ring?
Coming?
I don't know. I told Bubba I'd see him there, but yeah. No, I mean, look, I don't take offense, or I don't worry about any of that stuff. At the end of the day, it's like, I was really happy to be part of the Dudleys. The Dudleys are Bubba and Demon. And, you know, I was a part of it in ECW. Their legacy is much bigger than ECW, of things I wasn't a part of. And yeah, it would have been fine. But at the same time, it's like, they want to see those two guys. And if I was asked, like, if it had been something that had been talked about, probably, but when you're walking, like, literally in, and I was just coming with Myers and everybody to watch the show, it was kind of off the cuff and whatever. It's totally fine, though.
Yeah, because I, you know, we, like I said, we were number two. They were number one because they went to the Hall of Fame. And yeah. When I saw you there, I said, oh, he's coming back to, like, go out with Bubba and Devon. That's so cool. But you weren't dressed. You were, like, dressed, like, normal.
Well, that was one of the reasons when Bubba did ask me. And I was like, bro, I'm not even, like, dressed for this right now. It's like, I'm dressed in a Nine Inch Nails hoodie and a hat. And, you know.
Would you have wanted to, though, just if you had a tie-dye shirt and a pair of glasses, would you have went out there?
If I had known prior and it had been set up, yeah, sure.
When's the last time you worked, like literally worked?
2012 with Billy Corgan's Resistance Pro stuff.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I did that for, what's that?
Do you ever get the urge to get back in the ring?
Nah, I really don't. It's so different for me right now. I would do it once if I feel like that window's passed. And the reason I say that is the Dudleys did something in White Plains with us, and then they did that show. And it's just like, the window for me is like, if there was a time we were going to do it and do it once and do it properly, I'd be all in about it. But I don't want it to be like a last minute thing. Look, I'm not the guy. I'm not the big draw. It's like, holy shit, Sign Guy Dudley's here. It's more of a moment for like
everybody. Stop. You were a part of that crew.
Yeah.
Right? So if for nostalgia reasons, if a show came up and everybody was there, would you consider doing it?
Sure.
That's all. Because
are you booking me? I can give you my fee offline.
Really? Okay. No, because like with me, like in my mentality, I always tell Shane, because I must talk to Shane four to five times a week.
Yeah.
Every week. Like we're very close, you know?
Yeah.
And we tried to get booked a lot together because people like to see us together, right?
Sure, it makes complete sense.
It does. Until they book us separately and then put him three rows away from me, which makes no sense whatsoever, but that's
I'm not surprised, but
they're so ridiculous. But like in my mind, I'm just like, do people really want to see a 52-year-old woman
right
accompany this guy at ringside? Like that's what I say to myself. And then once I get out there, I'm like, I can kind of still do this.
I think it's a little different with you guys because you guys were so attached. And yes, I was a Dudley, but you two are synonymous, right? It's that just is. Bubba and Devon are too, and then there's the layers after Bubba and Devon. And that's just always how I've seen it. I've never, ever once taken offense. I've never really thought about it. I mean, I talk to Bubba now, I think more than, you know, we talked every day when we worked together, but now it's just different. We just have a different relationship. It's a fantastic relationship, but it's not really built around wrestling.
Yeah.
Or the Dudleys actually. So,
right.
I'm happy for those two guys. I think they've absolutely crushed it. Definitely made a statement. Happy to have been part of it. You never say never. I think maybe there's one day that you can get everybody back and just knock it out and that'll be it. But we'll see. My daughter, my 15-year-old, asks me constantly, you got to get back in the ring.
Now, do your kids watch wrestling?
My oldest doesn't. She only like will text me to show her friends. Like she'll be like, what was your wrestling name again? It's like Sign Guy Dudley, Louis Dangerously. But now I'm at the point now when she texts me that I just sent her this video I have that's on YouTube. I was like, here's everything you want to see. Someone put this video of me just getting killed. Here it all is.
Okay.
And then Emery, my youngest, got into it. What is it? 2000. I guess when Becky and Sasha and Charlotte and Bailey all start having those really big matches and I'd be watching them. That was one time I was watching wrestling because I was fully like floored of how awesome all that was. And then she would see like she really started liking Sasha a lot. And then they came here for a show and I brought her backstage and Devon set up for her to meet Sasha. She had such a great experience. Sasha gave her all these things, sent her a bunch of gifts, and that resonated with her. So now when she watches wrestling, she only watches the women. Her favorites are still like in TNA, Rosemary the Demon, or Courtney Rush is her favorite wrestler. She does like some of the guys now too, as I guess as you get older.
Right.
Yeah, she loves Masha also, and she loves Giselle also. So it's just like all these very interesting people that I personally have gotten to know that I think are really cool. But yeah, it started. So the short answer is she doesn't watch it religiously, but she definitely watches it like when those people are performing. Or when Sasha's doing something in AEW or whatever.
That's interesting because my kids have zero interest.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, they're not like, it's funny. I would keep all this ECW stuff. I'll be like, I'll give it to my kids. Like, my kids want nothing to do with it. So the only thing that Emery has, that's my youngest, that she really likes is she has the first tie-dye Dudley shirt I ever wore, a sign guy. And that's it. And she has a pair of Bubba's glasses that he gave her at a WWE show.
That's cute.
She has a shit ton of autograph stuff from TNA and from Sasha, but not, I mean, that's it, but it's cool. Yeah. It's cool. So she's kind of like one toe in the water, but
yeah, like my husband and I will watch a little bit here and there. Like we literally just watched the TNA pay-per-view from Las Vegas.
Oh, Rebellion. Awesome.
Yeah. I watched Rebellion and listen, I don't watch.
Yeah.
So I watched it from start to finish. I will say I loved the show. The packages are so good.
Yeah.
Like the packages rival WWE.
I agree.
Really,
I think
really good.
We have an amazing creative group. There's a guy named Eric Tompkins who works in our Nashville office, and there's a guy named George Barbosa, and between all these guys, like, what they put together with their teams, I'm not going to rattle through everyone's names, but they're the guys kind of in charge, and man, they just crush it. Like, Eric does such a good job with those packages, and they're so thoughtful, and like, I've been with him watching him like with a creative process. I have nothing to do with it. I'm just observing and what he puts into, like, you know, process and thought and time, but also how he engages people around him to be like, hey, what do you think? Or can we do this? Like, it's very collaborative. But what he puts out is great. And I appreciate you saying that for him.
Let me tell you, I was so impressed with the way you guys opened it with the
Yeah, segment. How was that? Oh, that was awesome.
Loved it. I thought it was so clever how you know, he was in the front and then he became in the back. And just really good. I will say, and I'm not the only one who said this, the one thing that disappointed me were the fans, the crowd.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand. The action was so good in the ring.
Yeah.
The crowd was dead.
Yeah, it's strange. And Vegas, from living here for so long and promoting probably eight to 10 TNA shows in my time here, Vegas is a very quiet crowd.
It reminded me of Japan, like when I went over to Japan, like that very kind of, and then I said to myself, man, they need more managers at ringside to bring the crowd up. Seriously.
It's so strange because the next night in Vegas, we did our TV tapings and they were like way louder then.
Was it at the Palms again?
Yeah, the way we do it, if you usually do a live show one night and then tape two episodes of TV the next night.
Okay.
Or we do a weekend where we do four episodes over two nights. And the TV night in Vegas was, they were super, super loud, like from the get-go all the way through. And we're all like, we get so puzzled by that because it's like, TV shows are great, TV tapings are great, but the live show is the payoff, right? You know all the matches going in, TV don't know everything that's happening. And
right.
Yeah. And that's not knocking Vegas. I love Vegas.
No,
I see it everywhere.
Yeah, like I love the way the building looked. Like
I was there.
And I was like, I was excited to watch it because this was the first pay-per-view I literally sat down and watched in like a really long time.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I was digging it, but I was legit pissed off at the people.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on? Like they popped for a little, like the thumbtacks and little things here and there. But overall, it was just flat. And I'm just like, man, if I was there, I would have been banging on that mat. I would have been turning around, cursing at people to try to bring them up. Like, I don't understand. The action was so good. And the guys and girls were working so hard. It pisses me off that it was so quiet in there at certain points.
You know? I agree. It's tough, you know, because you know from being in that spot, and I've been in that spot too, the crowd reaction is kind of what we're going for.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it was very, very quiet. And again, second night was great. But I've seen this in other markets too, where it's for some reason one show resonates differently over the other. Just on who's in the crowd, you know?
Yeah.
And for whatever it was, on Sunday afternoon in Las Vegas, everyone was raging instead of Saturday afternoon in Las Vegas. So.
Well, it was a great show. I think everybody looked great on it. The angles I loved. I was really into it. Like, and that says a lot because I haven't watched wrestling in like a really long time. I'm trying to slowly get back into it a little more because of this. About it more, you know, more wrestling and stuff, but I enjoyed it. So good job for everybody involved.
Like, no, and I'll share that with everybody. The one thing that I've been thoroughly, like, not just impressed with, but really stand behind when people ask us or ask me about, like, how are we different? I do think our storylines, as to what you said, are really what we pride ourselves on, and that it's not really shotgun booking. It's very much like person has a start, person has an arc, has a finish, like whatever, how it blows off and goes into the next thing. And they're really well laid out. And I think because of that, you know, you're able to vest yourself in characters.
Sure. You're not rushing it. And that's the beauty of it. You can stretch it out and make people want to be invested in it and want to watch every week. And that's what I like about it.
Yeah. And then we take the time to build people, and we take the time, like right now, you know, the system is our top heel group, and that's an evolution. I think it's awesome. And they're all really good guys and girls, and that's what helps. But also what they're doing is, like, it's legitimately getting heat. It's like making people upset, and they're getting boos, and it's like, you're not trying to force it. It's actually happening, you know? So you develop that a little bit more. And what we're doing with, like, the knockouts, I think our women are unbelievable. And the emphasis that we put on into that is makes me really proud too, because women's wrestling, I think as a whole, is obviously a lot better in general than what it was because of just the things you said you were asked to do back in the day that we don't even really think about anymore. And that's cool to showcase that. But yeah, I mean, and look, we're not sitting here trying to, like, oh, we're going to blow WWE out of the water and this and that. Like, we have a niche. We know that. And I think our niche has a lot of good support, a lot of really good wrestling, a lot of really good storytelling.
Yeah.
And that's a good place to own.
I had Lish on.
Yeah.
And I was telling her, I see a little bit of the triple threat in the system.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. And Brian Myers is your biggest fan. So
a modern day.
Yeah.
Modern day version. I love the system, and I love that she's out there at ringside. And that's what I was telling her, because she basically was saying she enjoys managing more than, like, the wrestling aspect. You know, she likes being at ringside. And I was like, we need those female managers out there. So do your thing. You know,
I agree. And I think
she's beautiful, and she's getting the job done. She's drawing the heat. And I just, like, when Brian and Eddie came out and they were holding up the belts, I flashed back to, like, Candido and Lance and then Shane with the belt at one point. I was just like, I see.
No, I mean, that's a really good example. That's a really good, comparison. I think, you know, one thing I'll say, Brian, you know, definitely loves Shane and you. So there may be, I have to ask him. I almost want to text him right this second, but I won't. But the one thing I'll say about Alicia Edwards,
don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're.
Oh, I'm totally going to bury you to him. I'm totally going to be like, yo, Francine said this on your podcast.
I do see little.
I do too. I get what you're saying.
But it's so cool because it's the 2024 version. And I'm a huge fan of them. Like I told you at the pay-per-view, the promo that they did, and then I love heels. I just love heels.
Oh, so
and,
do I. I mean,
it's the best. So I'm a big fan of TNA. I am going to come and see you guys because I'm booked for WrestleCade. So in November,
yeah.
You guys have a show. And
we're in Philadelphia at the end of June, too, if you want to hang out.
That night I'm booked.
Okay.
Somebody else.
And one more thing before we got cut off.
We're not going yet, but what is the date for the Philly show? Is that the 26th or something?
I think it's 28, 29 of June, but
yeah, I'm booked, or else I would have made it there. I'm away.
Well, I'm looking right now. While I'm looking, I wanted to say something. You had mentioned Alicia Edwards, and Philadelphia's 28, 29 of June.
I'm in Indiana.
Okay, well, that way you won't be there then. No. But Lish will be there. You know, he's a really good example of when I first started, there were a couple people who came to me and said, we have these ideas, you know, and we'd like to see some of these ideas happen. We're trying to get these ideas done. And she was one of them who came with, like, just a whole kind of, like, idea on social media and, you know, and not as much with, like, things that are trending, but making sure our presence is better. And she came with ideas for the content as well. And we've made all that happen in 2 years. And it's a good example of the TNA locker room. And it's her and there's a bunch of other people as well. Cody Diener, Tom Hannafin, like, a lot of the other guys that are not, you know, they're just – and that's where it's similar to ECW. Like, you see them in ring, but they have all these other things they kind of do. Liz helps produce content. She produces, like, our theme months and, you know – right now we're working on, you know, mental health awareness and things like that. And I think it's really good to have someone that has that, you know, I'm so in the day-to-day, a lot of us are in the day-to-day of running and working live events and doing all this stuff. And she's kind of thinking down the line, a bigger picture, but it's a good example of how a lot of our guys get involved.
Yeah, I love that. That's great.
And I can't believe I just put her over because I usually try to bury her as much as possible.
she's a sweetheart.
She's awesome.
But it does.
This is, I know she's going to watch it, and I want her to hear that I buried her.
You didn't bury her. You put her over.
But then I buried her at the end.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. We kind of canceled each other out, though. She's neutral now. Yeah. Where can people find you? What do you want to plug? Do you have any socials you want to plug or anything for TNA coming up? This will air next Tuesday, so anything after next Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I would direct everybody to TNAWrestling.com. Mm-hmm. On Twitter, it's This Is TNA. On X Twitter.
Yeah, whatever it is.
This Is TNA. Yeah. On Instagram, it's TNA Wrestling. But that's where everything is. And with this air date, that means we are talking about Albany this Friday and Saturday night. Friday night will be Under Siege at the Washington Street Armory. And Saturday night will be a TV taping in Albany.
That's this weekend coming up.
If this is airing a week from today,
yes,
it's this weekend.
Okay. Yes. All right. So, yes. And do you want to plug your socials?
Lou_D ANGELI is Instagram, and L D'Angeli is X Twitter X.
All right.
Well, and I still I don't have my web TV email that you have anymore, but
I was gonna send you something on there.
Web TV.
Like 85 years ago.
Hey man, you invented online poker apparently. So.
Web TV. You know what would be fun if we were all in the same location and we can play poker. Like
there's a website that me and my buddies use that you can just start a game and people can just sign in and you can play, and you just settle up.
I want to play at a table like with real. Oh
yeah. Yeah. Hey, I'm just trying here, man. I'm trying my best.
You played with Phil Ivey, didn't you? Was it Phil Ivey or
Chris? I never played with Phil Ivey. I played at tables with John Reisner, Annie Duke.
No, who was the one you played with that you called me and you were freaking out over?
Daniel Negreanu, probably.
Was it Daniel?
I never played at a table with Phil Ivey. That would be sick.
I thought it was online. I thought you played with
Phil Ivey. Okay. That was a long time ago, and it was Phil Ivey. It was on Full Poker. Okay. I always think of in person for me.
No. I'm talking about, I remember when you played with him and you literally lost your shit.
Yeah, I have a screenshot of that because I couldn't, like, yes, that was Full Tilt Poker before Black Friday. I think it was 2010 or 11 because I just moved to Vegas and I actually was playing, I had gone back to Philadelphia for something and was playing online poker in Philadelphia on Full Tilt and played at a table with Phil Ivey. That's correct. So thanks for reminding me of myself. I forgot.
I knew it was Phil Ivey. Now, you can't tell me it wasn't. But you've played with all these other people in Vegas live. Is it just like you go into a casino and you sign up for like one of the tournaments? Or was it like the World Series of Poker? Or
yeah, it was all WSOP events. And I just happened to either be seated at a table with them or something just came together. It's a whole different level. What's that?
How intimidated were you?
Look, I'm a fan of poker. So the first thing was I thought it was cool. And then the second thing was, boy, you got to play tight and watch your shit, man, because these guys are not playing around. I played a hand against I have to pull her name up. Her name's Kelly something. She's called the illest, and I'm looking for her right now. She was easily the most difficult person. I can't find her right now. I don't want to waste your time, but it was whatever. She was unbelievable, like unbelievable. And I had a real hand, and the way that she bet and made me doubt my hand, like
show.
I ended up no, she didn't show. She bet. I raised. She folded. I had no idea what she had. I had a pair of tens with like two overs on the board. I remember it really well.
Oh.
But I remember the whole time. Like, it's just weird for me when you play against a pro. The whole time you think they have it.
Yeah, because
you just don't know, and it's like that's tough.
So the World Series of Poker, how far did you get? Like, what was your highest ranking?
I never got past day one. So
okay,
yeah, all right. And I made it to the last hour of day one once, which was I was just trying to hang on. I was like, I just want to make it to day two so I could say I bagged my chips for day two. And I remember the last hour I had like 5,000 in chips, and the average stack at that point was like 100K.
Wow. I would love to do one of those. I've played the ones online, like the satellites to advance, but
it's tough, man. It's not, and those guys, you know, it's dead serious. You know, you get some goofballs, but you know, the most intimidating thing I always tell people about poker is just sitting down at the table, and then once you're there, it just kind of goes.
I'm always afraid I'll count the wrong amount of chips, and then
I do that all the time. I feel like just awful because I'm trying to find her name again.
You're a big jabroni.
What's that?
You're a big jabroni.
No, it's like I'll be like, somebody will make a bet, and I'll go to raise, and won't count the raise right because I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Like, hey, yo, like you have to at least double the bet, and you're like, yeah, I know that, but I forgot.
Well, let's try to see if people want to play poker that weekend when we're in town.
Let's do it.
That would be kind of fun.
You should talk to the WrestleCon guy and do a WrestleCade guy and do a WrestleCade wrestling poker tournament.
You know what? We should, but there are so many shows that are going on that way. It's like WrestleCon. Yeah. There's a million.
You don't need, only need like 10, 15 people, and then you get a bunch of fans to play too, and everything is kind of cool.
Can't we just play in somebody's room?
Okay. That's fine. We have the best brother hangs ever. So
we do. Let's try to make that happen. Somebody needs to just bring a deck of cards.
That's fine. I usually have one.
And chips, right?
Yeah. And here we go. Here we go. Look at me now.
We're doing it. All right. Well, I'm so glad I saw you because it had been too long. And it's kind of like this year I've been reuniting with a lot of people. And I really do want to keep in touch this time because, like we said before, we were telling everybody at the table, we were like, we were so close at one point, and then we kind of just...
Well, look, lives happen, things evolve. And then also, too, now, I mean, frankly, with, you know, texting, it sounds so old, but I mean, it's easy to get in touch with each other, you know what I mean? And my thing about going to that ECW show, and Myers had asked me like a couple weeks before, you know, will you go with me? Well, a bunch of us will go. And so me, him, and Nick and a few other guys went. And my whole thing was, I really just want to see people and just say hi to them and get a picture with them. You know, everyone says, take the picture.
Yes.
No pictures with like anybody. And it's important to me, like, you know, for those kind of memories, because you guys are all people I worked with for so long. And like, when I look back at the pictures I have from ECW, it's either me holding a brownie or like some random thing from like backstage that I necessarily don't want to share.
But I know
what I mean. So I was happy to see everybody. It really was like when I got back to the bar that night and we were all hanging out, like I was like, man, that was cool. I'm really happy I did that. Because you asked Brian, like I'm very hesitant. Sabu was here. I came to one of our – no, he was doing an autograph signing at one of our – at the same location of one of our Impact shows. And Brian's like, you got to go up and say hi to him. I was like, he doesn't want to see me. We had the best time. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, I never, you know, whatever. But it's been awesome. It was awesome seeing everybody.
Yeah, it was. Well, I was happy to see you. Thank you for coming on the show. Everybody go support TNA Wrestling.
Yeah.
if you want to follow me on socials, you can find me across the board at ECW Diva Francine. I hope you're staying safe. I hope you're staying healthy. And most of all, I hope you're staying extreme.